coming in.
Keep it locked right here. You are listening to MTMB Sports.
Out of adversity and trauma, challenges and hardship, from the streets of Kansas City, a shoe company was born. Birthed from the desire to serve others and provide high quality cleats and sneakers at an affordable price, we present to you Ozell Brand. It's not just a brand, it's a lifestyle. Order now at OzellBrand.com.
Man, listen. Yo, shouts out to the whole squad, man. Thank y'all for tuning in to episode 11 of MVP University, man. It's your boy MVP JT here, man. I got my main man, Professor Pryor, with us tonight, man. You already know how we go down, how it goes down here at MVP University. We just gonna chop it up. College football, and if it's a random notification that comes to my phone by the NFL again, like last week, we're gonna talk about that, a quick breeze. But yeah, man, hey, I just want to let y'all know, last week was a good week for me. Last week was a good week for me, man. And hey, what can I say? It was a very exciting week, man. Yo, now y'all see us. What's up, my family? Thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of MVP University. Once again, I'm your main man, MVP JT. Professor Pryor is here with me tonight. Hey, shout out to my main man, Conrad. Hey, bro, we miss you, bro. Can't wait to get you back on the show, man. So I know y'all probably like, what is he talking about? He had a good week. Hey, I went 4-1 last week, guys, on my picks. This is the first winning week I've had. Y'all don't understand how excited I am about that, man. This is like, typically I go either 2-3 or 1-4. I was over 500 this week, man. But hey, it was some really good football last weekend, though.
Honestly. It was. Agreed. Like, so I'm trying to think, who did I lose on? I went with UCLA.
You went with UCLA, you went with Texas, and you went with Kansas State.
Hey, listen. Man, Kansas State, that's a bad beat. I mean, they went through three quarterbacks, man.
Yeah.
That's a bad beat. I was still, everything considered, I'd have still took Kansas State over TCU. And if Will Howard would have stayed that game, I think Kansas State would have won that game. But
well, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, it don't matter. I won. I had a winning week. I think Conrad might need to stay off the show for a minute, man. Because when he here, I go with him and me and him.
Yeah, like, see, that should probably be. And you know, Conrad be talking foolish, and you just want
to walk and kind of man. Hey, yo, but real quick before we get started with the show, man. Hey, do me a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to this channel. Like, share, and subscribe to MTMV Sports. Man, we got so much stuff going on, so much content coming out to you guys. We got the V Report, Sports Talk with Seed, the Full 94, the Main Card, the Hugh Jackson Show. Man, it's so much stuff that we'll give you guys, man. So if y'all really like sports like we do, if you're a sports enthusiast like we are, man, just tune into the network, man. You know, we got blogs being posted by our very own Professor Pryor, as well as our main man C. Micah with Not the Same Podcast. And also check them boys out, man. Hey, they give you a great show 3 days out of the week.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, a great show. So yeah, check the whole squad out, man. We all winning around here, man. So yeah, we're gonna go ahead and hop into this thing, man, real quick. So Professor Pryor, talk to us. So what we got on the yard today, man?
So it's kind of serious stuff, kind of not serious stuff. I want to start with an interesting statistic that I just read.
Okay, talk to me.
Mario Cristobal. Let me see if I can get this right. Mario Cristobal, Mel Tucker. Jimbo. Doggone, I just forgot. It's another coach. But there are four coaches making a combined with all these guaranteed contracts, and they are a combined 12-16. And I think that of all of them, Mario should kind of get a pass just because it's year one. He's in year one of Miami. I thought they might be able to compete for the Coastal just because it's the Coastal. But I don't know how much of an excuse Jimbo Fisher has for being 3-4 down there at Texas A&M right now. But what I really want to get into, unless you got something to say about these guaranteed coach contracts, that may be something we get into in depth next week. I wanted to keep it light on the yard this week because people keep telling me, hey, professor. I said, what? They say, professor. I said, what? I said, is CJ Stroud the obvious Heisman winner? And I said, that's a good question. So I thought to myself, let's not wait to the postseason. Let's do half season awards. So, JT, I'm turning it to you first. Who is your mid-season coach of the year, mid-season Heisman, mid-season offensive player of the year? And I'm going to challenge you. Your Heisman offensive player of the year can't be the same player.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, hold on. Let me restructure this then.
And your mid-season defensive player of the year.
Okay.
And if you want to go back and forth, we can do that. So let's start with your coach. Who's your mid-season coach of the year?
All right, so my mid-season coach of the year, I'm going to go with so I wrote down three names.
Okay.
I wrote down Dan Lanning in Oregon.
That's a good one.
I wrote down Lincoln Riley in USC.
Okay.
And I wrote down Kirby Smart.
Okay.
But being realistic and just looking at the overall picture, no one expected Oregon to be 6-1 right now. Mm-hmm. No one expected Bo Nix to even be in the sentence of could he be invited to New York.
Okay.
That's my first defense. My second one, Lincoln Riley has put USC back on the map. USC is relevant again. That UCLA and USC game is going to be a meaningful game this year.
First time since the Pete Carroll era.
For the first time in almost 20 years.
Yeah.
Second thing, Kirby Smart is finding a way to win.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Dan Lanning as my coach of the year.
Okay.
Right now. Okay. Reason being, man. Okay, let's think about this. First game of the season, Oregon, UGA. UGA beat them 49-3. Mm-hmm. From that point, we thought, okay, this is going to be the traditional Oregon team, three to four losses on the season, might make the Pac-12 championship game just because of the size of the conference they're on. But I'm going to give you a rundown. They lost to UGA 49-3. After that, they beat Eastern Washington 70-14. They beat a undefeated, if I'm not mistaken, undefeated at that time, BYU 41-20.
Yes.
They beat Washington State 44-41. They beat a Stanford team, which is decent, 45-27. They beat Arizona on the road 49-22. They beat UCLA 45-30. He is carrying that team. He's coaching that team. He's bringing back the quack attack.
I'm going to tell you what I like about Dan Lanning, since you mentioned him. He's actually doing the opposite. Oh, my man is back next week. Are you going to love my coach of the year, Westside? Because it's strictly to troll you, just by the way. But I like Lanning because he's not sacrificing trying to play wide open offense to kind of compensate for his defense. like it's taking Kirby some time to learn that down there in Georgia. I like those. I did not go commercial, I guess, for lack of a better term. I was thinking, kind of going through. I thought about Lance Leipold because, I mean, it's Kansas. You know, the man's won 5 games at Kansas. I'm looking at the rest of their schedule. They got one more. Losing Jalen Daniels, and from a couple things I've read, he may be out for the rest of the season, which hurts. My coach of the year, yes, the troll West Side, is the team I told him about in the preseason. He didn't want to listen. Nobody wanted to listen to me, but I told you they was going to be dangerous. Dino Babers, upstate New York, Syracuse University. Listen, now I got to tell you, I don't know how Sean Tucker only got the ball 5 times against Clemson.
5 times. When I was watching that game, I'm like, wait a minute.
Wait, hold on. For 54 yards. He was getting 10 yards of carry. So Baber after the game goes, the way that Clemson was playing Tucker on the RPO was forcing Garrett Schrader to run. I said, all right, cool, coach. Inside zone, outside zone, 16 power O. Student, y'all don't have no running plays. Every running play is an RPO. Y'all don't have no, like, no regular trap toss.
Dive. Toss
I know. Can you run a running play? Because Clemson, if they would have figured out a way to get Sean Tucker the ball, they might have beaten Clemson.
No, ain't no might about that. They would have beat Clemson. Yeah,
because Clemson shut them out in the second half. And the one fear I had about Syracuse playing that game came true. Because I like Aronde Gasson, and I liked his dad back in the day when his dad played for the Dolphins, but they don't have a legit take the top off a defense deep threat.
Yeah.
So that kind of hurt them. But Dino Babers has done a great job. He has, you know, getting Robert or not is probably why he's coach of the year. The fact that when Bronco left Virginia, he went and got Robert or not to really change that offense. And Garrett Schrader has learned how to throw the football. And let this be a lesson to the Jimbo Fishers and the Bill O'Briens of the world. Make it easy for your quarterback to have success, because a nice offense makes an average pass. And that, don't get me wrong, Schrader got an arm. He can spin it. He can chuck it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he was going to Mississippi State to play for Dan Mullen. He was going to be Tim Tebow light. That's what Schrader was going to be, right? But a nice offensive system has simplified things and has made him a better passer. And the fact that Syracuse only has one loss, they have every opportunity in the world for that to be their only loss. Why I picked Dino Babers to be my midseason coach of the year.
Hey, that's not a bad pick at all. Also, another coach that I'm not going to say we're sleeping on, but what he's doing this year is outstanding, Coach Heupel.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Absolutely. And just to be honest with you, if Tennessee ends the season with one loss, I still think he may win the Coach of the Year award.
And he should.
Yes, he should.
Because if he only got that one L, that means two things. One, they beat Georgia. And two, they won the SEC.
They're undefeated right now. Are you saying the only loss would be to Alabama? Because I'm thinking their only loss, if they do lose this year, it will be to Georgia.
Oh, no, you're right. I got that wrong. That's right. They're undefeated. No, that one loss, I don't know, man. I don't know what that loss would be.
And I'm going to be honest with you, and I know we're jumping the room, you know, a little early because the game ain't until next week. Mm-hmm. But I personally feel that if Tennessee beats Kentucky this week, I'm gonna go on record and say right now, today is October 27th at 10:41. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go on record and say Tennessee gonna run the table and Tennessee will beat Georgia this year.
Oh wow, that's bold.
It's a 3:30 kickoff between the hedges. I think Tennessee has what it takes to go between the hedges in Athens and come out victorious.
I have one concern about Tennessee beating Georgia at Georgia. That is, Kirby will pull out the boa constrictor. And he will look at Josh Heupel and say, "Oh, you think we're gonna let Hendon get that ball? Mm-mm. We got six running backs. They all about to get up 15 times in the game. I'm telling you, that's my own, and because they struggle stopping the run against Alabama.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think Georgia's offensive line is better than Alabama's offensive line, but I also think Georgia's secondary is better than Alabama's secondary. So I think if they can do some of the things against Georgia that they did against Alabama, they're going to have a chance. But I think
as long as number five in that backfield, they got a chance.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But I also think Georgia wants to make that statement. They want everybody to know, hey, I know what y'all think Tennessee is, but we're also showing our rivals to the west, it's a new squad in the SEC, and they got that black and white G on the red helmets. I think they're ready to take the throne from Alabama. They ain't gonna wait for it to pass. I think they want to take it.
These are the games
that when you're ready to take the throne, these are the games you win.
Yeah,
but it's gonna be a good one. I think it's gonna be every bit as good as Tennessee, Georgia. I mean, Tennessee, Alabama was.
All right, so let's go ahead and let's finish this up real quick. I'm gonna come back to a statement. Okay. So my offensive player of the year, I have CJ Stroud as my offensive player of the year. My defensive player of the year, I have Miles Murphy from Clemson.
Okay, I'll let you think. Oh, you got your Heisman?
Yes.
Okay, who you got?
Triple H.
Okay.
Hendon.
Okay.
Hooker for Heisman.
Okay. Okay, I'm gonna challenge myself. Since you took Hooker, I'm not gonna take him because you did.
No.
Because I got a solid two.
Okay.
So I want to go. I'm gonna go in your order. My offensive player of the year is my offensive player of the year because if he is not on the field, his team has three losses. So my offensive player of the year is Bryce Young. And I'm treating it like MVP. Because if Bryce, Mahomes, Jordan Young, if he's not on the field for the Crimson Tide, has at least three losses this season. He's the only reason they're a one loss team, and the only reason they were in that game against Tennessee. There might not be a more important player for his team than Bryce Young gets for Alabama.
Because the Texas game, if it wasn't for him and that 15-20 yard run?
Yes.
Yeah, they would have lost that one.
My defensive player that you brought up Lincoln Riley at USC. And the one thing that has been surprising is how well they've played defense. And their best player is Tui Pelotu. That man has lived in Pac-12 backfields all season. He is tied for third in the country with sacks and seven. He is top 10 in tackles for loss. That young man is an absolute beast. He is keeping the Darryl Russell, Clay Matthews defensive end tradition alive at USC. And he's not even supposed to be the best lineman on that team. That's supposed to be Corey Foreman. But Corey Foreman has not rounded into form. And my small sample size Heisman, I thought about it, and he was a close two, and I put him in the same category as Bryce Young. My man Drake May from UNC. That man's played out of his mind. He's played out of his mind this season. He had the one not so great game against Notre Dame. But number one, if he's not on the field, they lose to Duke.
This is true.
And they lose to App State.
That was a pretty close game.
Let me give an honorable mention to two running backs that I was thinking about. Bijan Robinson out of Texas and Chase Brown out of Illinois. But Drake May has just been out of this world great with one of his receivers out for the season.
Yeah.
And then Josh Downs has been hurt most of the year.
Yeah, he's doing it with a subpar receivers, subpar offensive line.
So, but had you not have taken him, I would have taken Hendon Hooker.
So here's my question.
Hendon
has been outstanding. So let's just say hypothetically, our vote was counted. You know, we were part of the media. We gave a vote. Realistically, how many people you think will vote for Mr. May?
Probably every news writer in North Carolina, and that's about it.
Because
Hendon Hooker, his story, and shout out to Ralph Russo and the AP Top 25 podcast, because I had to tweet him and correct him. He was not, he had mentioned that he had transferred and was recruited to transfer by Josh Heupel. That is actually not the case. He transferred when Pruitt was on the staff, was head coach. And he stayed after Pruitt left. Heupel went and got Joe Milton from Michigan and started Joe Milton and realized that Joe Milton is the second coming in practice. But during the games, he ain't the second coming. And then he got hurt and Hendon Hooker can't wait his turn, got in, and the rest is history. So you gotta love the story. I just find it crazy that every time I think about the fact that Justin Fuente basically told Hendon Hooker, you can stay, but you're not gonna play. Braxton Burmeister is gonna play. And yeah. And so, Justin Fuente no longer has a job.
So before we leave the on the yard topic, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, every Heisman winner has that Heisman moment. Do you think if Tennessee beats Georgia, that entire game will be Hendon Hooker's Heisman moment?
No, I think he had it already against Alabama. But I think if he play, he needs to play well, win or lose. Like, he needs to do what Deshaun Watson did against Alabama in the championship game. He needs to go tit for tat with Georgia. And I will say, in one sense, if he plays well against Georgia, and I don't want to disrespect Kentucky to any Kentucky fans, because I'm hoping Will Levis brings it, because that's going to be fun. If Levis actually plays like the number one pick in the draft, like everybody think he's going to be, and he lighting it up and Hendon Hooker lighting it up, that would be fantastic. But I don't like Kentucky's offensive line. It's not as good as it used to be. Anywho, but I think if he plays well against Georgia, he'll have two, because I do think Georgia's defense, because of partially what they did last season and what they're doing this season, there's a mythology around the Georgia defense that, quite frankly, is like Alabama 03 to 08, the mythology around those defenses. So if he shreds up Georgia, they just might as well just mail the award to the man's dormitory.
So do you, here's my last question. We're gonna move on. Do you think Stetson Bennett do you think he gets enough credit for what he's doing, or he gets none, not enough, or more than enough?
I don't think he gets enough. But I think Stetson Bennett is a really good, solid college quarterback. He his nickname is appropriate. He's the mailman. That's what he is. He's not. He's not the type of quarterback that can elevate marginal receivers. I mean, when you think about Tennessee, right? And you think about their receivers, and this is one thing I actually think that Josh Heupel completely needs more credit for than what he's getting. First of all, you look at their leading receivers. So Brew McCoy off the scrap heap between USC and Texas. And somehow Brew McCoy has not only been able to stay healthy, he's been able to be productive. He is second, and that's only probably because Cedric Tillman's been hurt. But he's second on the team with 24 catches. You know, Cedric Tillman is another one. Perfect example. Cedric Tillman had, get this, Cedric Tillman had 8 career receptions before Josh Heupel got there, and he had 64 in 2021, and he's got 17 this year, but he's only played in the 3rd year. Mm-hmm. You know, somehow, even when you look at a Jalen Hyatt, who
is playing, you know, great ball right now,
has the ability. He's averaging almost 20 yards. Here's the thing: he is leading Tennessee in receptions, but he's also averaging almost 20 yards a reception, and he's doubled his total from last season. So, but when you look at that compared to the 4 and 5, well, predominantly 4 stars that Georgia has, including the offensive line. I mean, Stetson Bennett is doing exactly what he's supposed to do. You get this protection by all these 5-star offensive linemen. You've got 4 and 5-star running backs. You've got 4 and 5-star wide receivers. Your job is to be the mailman, deliver it to the playmakers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he does. And that's what he is supposed to do.
I personally think that he's overhyped. And here's why I say that. So Georgia, the past couple of years, have had great college outstanding play from the quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Fromm. Justin Fields, the only one who's in the NFL right now who's being productive. So
I didn't think Jake Fromm was that good.
He was a game manager. I never saw him as a potential NFL quarterback because he only was as good as the players around him. The team he had the 4 years, what he stayed 4 years right at Georgia, mm-hmm. right? The 4 years he was there at Georgia, he had great weapons around him. He had a great defense. He had arguably two of the best running backs to ever come through Georgia, and Sonny Michel and Nick Chubb in the same backfield at the same time.
So who would you take? You got safe with Jake Fromm. You got the mailman. Which one?
If I'm recruiting, and I got to choose one of the two, I'm going Jake.
Yeah, you probably would.
And the reason I'm going Jake, because Jake was a smarter quarterback. He knew the game. You know how they say in the NFL, the game when you're a rookie is very fast, but year 2 or 3 it starts to slow down. Mm-hmm. I think after game 4 of his freshman year, the college football became another high school game to him. He took his time and dissected that game. It was literally games where he broke down defenses. And it wasn't – Georgia has never had a flashy offense where they're going to air it out
mm-hmm.
60, 70 times. They're going to throw the ball 15 to 20 times, maybe 30, depending on the situation. But they have always had running backs.
Yeah. What?
Like for instance, you had Gurley and Marshall, Keith Marshall. If one thing I can say about Georgia, and that's consistent, they will always keep two running backs in the stable that are going to kill you.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm gonna take Jake from State Farm.
If we're coming out of high school, everyone's gonna take Fromm because Fromm was the better prospect. Fromm was a high end 4-star.
Mm-hmm. Should have been 5, in my opinion.
I want to say Stetson was a walk on.
Yep.
So
he was a walk on, and then transferred to JUCO and came back. And he
came back. So you would take Jay, but I like Stetson. I mean, he's solid. He is the only time he would get exposed, and if you're gonna expose him, it's gonna be this season. Because their defense is fantastic, but it's not historically great as it was last year. Georgia,
absolutely. Yeah,
defense is outstanding, but it's not what it was last year. And
it's nowhere near close.
I am hoping to see Ohio State and Georgia in the playoff. I don't care when it is. I just want to see it. I want to see if Ohio State can put up some points against that defense.
I would say this: the only way that happened, it would have to be national title game, because if both of those teams went out, Georgia be 1, Ohio State be 2.
Okay, I would agree with that. I mean, unless Georgia loses the SEC championship and they're 2, or somehow they're 2-3, which I don't think is going to happen. Before we pick these games, how your playoff picks holding up? I think we've done a great job of not really talking about the college football playoff until it's time, and this really hasn't been time until now.
So the preseason, when we did our first show, we kind of sort of gave us some playoff picks, and 3 out of the 4 are in position.
Okay.
So my 4 originally I said it was Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson. I was not expecting Alabama to lose. So this is how I see this shaking out. Right now, and you have 5 teams in front of Alabama right now. You have Georgia, Ohio State, Georgia, Ohio State, Tennessee, Michigan. Georgia, Ohio State, Tennessee, Michigan, Clemson, mm-hmm. Alabama.
Yeah.
The top 4 teams play each other in the coming weeks.
Yes.
Which shakes up to, once again, a possibility of at least 2 SEC teams getting in. But now that the season has progressed, we're midway. I'm going to change my playoffs for a quick second. Hypothetically speaking, Tennessee wins out. Tennessee's in. Clemson will be in. Ohio State will be in. USC will be in.
I don't think USC is going to win the Pac-12.
USC, a 1-loss USC team. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about that now.
I have a question. I'm glad you brought that up. Because Alabama still controls its fate.
Alabama won the SEC, they in.
Yeah, they went out. They're going to the SEC championship game. Georgia plays Tennessee. Tennessee plays them. Let's say they go to double overtime. Tennessee comes up short. But they went out. Georgia wins the SEC championship game. They're undefeated. They're in. Is there a scenario where Tennessee, 1-loss Tennessee, that beat Alabama, plays Georgia to overtime? Is there a scenario where they don't even play for the championship game and make the college football playoff.
Absolutely. If Tennessee's only loss is to Georgia, they're in, regardless. And here's why I say that. You must have got Michigan and Ohio State play each other. Mm-hmm. Last game of the season. Clemson's there. They're inconsistent.
No one's going to beat Clemson in the ACC. I cover the ACC. There is not a team in that conference that's going to beat them. No, they're not going to lose.
Okay, they're not going to lose. Okay, now let's think like the committee. Based on the committee's history and the track record, they are very big on strength of schedule and style points. Mm-hmm. Okay, Georgia win the SEC, they're in. Ohio State win the Big Ten, they're in. Those two for sure in. Mm-hmm. Now it gets tricky. If Clemson wins out, they most likely will be in. Now, that fourth spot, USC went out, Tennessee number two in the East, number two overall in the SEC.
You're leaving out a conference, though. What about the Big 12?
I'm not worried about the Big 12. Who's going to represent the Big 12 in the playoffs?
TCU still undefeated.
They would not put TCU in. If they put TCU in, because they win the Big 12, they're gonna have to show me their guidelines as to why they put them in.
Because when it comes to the playoff, there are, I would say, three. The committee's inconsistent, but there are three things that have been consistent throughout the history of the playoff. One, they will devalue you if you have a bad loss. I go back and I want to say it was, I don't remember the year, but it was the year that was, oh my gosh, the late Dwayne Haskins, I believe, when they lost to Purdue 55-21. That was their only loss. They win the Big Ten. Oklahoma lost to Kansas State that year.
Mm-hmm.
It was a close loss, but they also had the historically worst defense of any team to make the play. They had they had the 120th ranked defense in the country that year. The committee took Oklahoma over Ohio State because they devalue. They would rather take a team with a bad defense than a team with a horrible loss. I think the second thing is you won't see in this iteration of the playoff, you won't see a two-loss team.
Absolutely
not. You lose two, it's a wrap. But also, they're not gonna exclude an undefeated Power Five conference champion.
Okay.
And here's why. Because, and it took me a while to understand this nuance. There is a difference between best and most deserving. And basically, the committee's saying, if you run the table in your conference, and I think with the Big 12, it should be because of the nature of the Big 12, because unlike any other conference in the Power Five, in the Big 12, you play everybody. It's round robin. You play every team in that conference. So if you run the table and go undefeated, you have beaten every team in your conference if you're the Big 12 champ. And one team you beat twice.
Correct.
So to that end, I think if TCU runs the table. Now, I will say this. I do think the Big 12 champion has to be undefeated. I don't think a one-loss Big 12 champ is going to get in over a one-loss SEC team.
I'm going to say this.
And I don't know if I agree with that completely, but and SEC bias is what it is. But I think that if TCU goes undefeated, they win the Big 12. I don't think they're going to go undefeated. They have a chance to win the Big 12 though, but I don't think they're going undefeated. I think they're in the playoff.
So you'll
put your undefeateds in over a one loss team, and it's not because they're better. Just both years Notre Dame made the college football playoff. They were not one of the four best teams.
They were not.
But they deserve, but they were most deserving because they won all their games.
Okay. So peep this. Last five games for TCU. Mm-hmm. They go to West Virginia. They got Texas Tech at home. Mm-hmm. They have Texas on the road. They go to Baylor. Last game of the season against the Iowa State.
So
out of those five,
but it's the Big 12. They can win all five or lose three of them.
Out of those five, I see one loss.
Who do you see?
I see them losing to Texas because they're in Texas. Like Texas is home. I see them losing to Texas. That's the only realistic loss. I don't trust Baylor. West Virginia, no. Texas Tech really just playing ball.
I gotta be honest with you, man. Before you say no to West Virginia, those are the games that teams lose in the Big 12.
Yeah. You're right.
And you know, JT's playing well. Your boy Bryce Ford Wheaton's playing well. I will say I think it's important that unlike the last 2 weeks, TCU needs to get off to a better start.
Yeah.
But I would agree. I think they can lose to Texas Tech too, because I think Tyler Shutt or Donovan Smith will be back for that game. And one thing that Texas Tech can do, they can pitch it around the yard. They can't play much defense.
Yeah.
But they will throw. I want to say Joey McGuire probably runs one of the pure systems of the air raid that we get. I mean, nobody runs it like Leach, but McGuire runs it close. He runs it more than Leach does. But I think if they go undefeated, they're in, and then you'll probably have TCU, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State.
Okay.
Well, if that were to happen, and if Georgia's one and TCU's four, they could actually be a decent 1-4 game, and we don't get many of those.
You're right. It's been a while. When last time? Well, 1-4. We haven't had a solid 1-4 game in a while. It's been a good minute, but hey, all right, y'all. You know, once again, thank y'all for tuning into the show. That was our On the Yards topics. You know, where we just chop it up on the yard, man. We just go to the student center, walk around the plot, you know, sit on the yard and just talk sports. Hey, once again, check us out on all social media, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Professor, you know, he got his blogs Saturday morning. Is it Saturday Morning Blitz, right?
SaturdayBlitz.com.
SaturdayBlitz, yeah, yes. .com. And then also check us out on Twitter at _MVPU_. We got some stuff in store dropping, so I want y'all to really, you know, chime in with us and just check us out, man. We really appreciate all the, you know, comments, all the feedback that you guys give us, man. Without y'all, it's no us. So I'm truly grateful for everyone that tunes into us and continue to rock with us, man, because we're going to continue to give you guys great content week in and week out. All right, man, y'all know what time it is. So it's film session. Last week, I went 4-1. Last week, Professor went 3-2.
Well, 3-2, it happens.
So this week, we only got four games. The reason we got four games because it's going to be a quick games, but the games we're picking have a lot of value. So the first game I'm starting off with, Oklahoma State, Kansas State. Professor, talk to me.
All right. So you're looking at two one-loss Big 12 teams trying to keep pace with TCU, who is solo undefeated in the Big 12. Man. I think this is going to be another entertaining Big 12 matchup. Go to Saturday Blitz. read my Big 12 power
rankings. Oh man, he hit y'all with the he hit y'all with the go find me.
listen, the Big 12 is the funnest conference in college football this year. They may not have the best teams, they don't have a Georgia, but the games have been outstanding. They've been all been fun. I'm going with Oklahoma State only because it looks like Adrian Martinez is not going to play. And although Will Howard did play well against TCU, I don't know if Will Howard can play well twice in a row. And Derek Mason did not work out at Vanderbilt as their head coach, but he's proven, just look at that second half against Texas, that he still knows how to coach defense. Give me the Pokes in this one.
Okay. I'm going with you as well. I think Oklahoma State offense right now is clicking on all cylinders. Kansas State has really they really haven't been the Kansas State who people thought they were going to be. They had a high ceiling coming into the season. They really was a team that people had high expectations for. They really haven't lived up to it, and I think Oklahoma right now just is it will be the more dominant team in this game, because look what Oklahoma State has been doing, man. They have really been imposing their will on teams. You know what I'm saying? It hasn't been like, I'm not gonna say necessarily say imposing their will, but if they want to win, they'll find a way to win the game. They will not find a way to lose.
And Spencer Sanders has found a different level.
Yeah.
Like, and number one, he ain't throwing it to the wrong jersey as much this season.
He only has 4 interceptions this year. 15 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. So, yeah. So, I'm going OK State. Professor going OK State. All right, cool. Game number 2, Tennessee, Kentucky. I think I already know what is going. I'm taking Tennessee. We've already discussed that early in the show.
Yeah.
I'm taking Tennessee.
I'm with you. I'm taking the Volunteers.
Okay. That was a quick one. Next game, Ohio State, Penn State.
Where's this game? Where's this game? It's in Happy Valley.
Happy Valley, yep.
Okay, so my next question as we continue this kind of mediocre podcasting right now, what time is this game?
Noon.
Ohio State by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Bruh. So here's the thing just real quick. Because Penn State, no matter how good Ohio State is, it looks like when they play Ohio State in Happy Valley at night, they usually play Ohio State tough.
Very tough.
And it's always the same thing usually always comes out after the game. Man, if Franklin would only find a quarterback, they could beat him. But this game's at noon.
And Ohio State kills. Ohio State is, they are probably the best noon team I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Like, when they play at noon, like, you might well say they're going to win at least by 21 plus.
And I don't like. One Jackson Smith and Jigba returns.
Yes.
Cancel Christmas. Yeah, I said nothing with touchdowns. Cancel Christmas.
All right. It just, man, I don't know what it is, but Happy Valley at nighttime and they do a whiteout game, man. That atmosphere is like,
I don't know who scheduled these games, but how was the Minnesota game the whiteout game?
Right. Yeah, man. Honestly, how whoever scheduled these games, I have questions about, because why isn't Georgia and Tennessee a night game? It's a 3:30 kickoff.
Because that's the no, yeah. No, that's Georgia, Florida, is the world's largest outdoor cocktail party.
Correct.
That is a good question.
That's, like, yes. And a statistic came up early when I was doing my research. Since 2005, do you know how many night games Georgia has had?
Less than 10.
16.
16, wow. Okay.
All the other major, Alabama has had 45 night games since 2005.
You know why? Because it seems like with ESPN, Alabama plays on ESPN more than Georgia does. Georgia and CBS only does, I think, 3 or 4 night games a year.
But still, the SEC network, I mean the ESPN network, which airs on ABC, mm-hmm. man. So ESPN and SEC has 3 games: a 12 o'clock game, a 3 o'clock game, and a night game. This game could have easily been scheduled as a night game.
I won't disagree, but so when they bid for the games, sorry Georgia fans, what I'm about to say. But if ESPN says we want, because Georgia Tennessee was prime time, that means CBS said, well, you can't have Georgia Tennessee if you got Alabama Tennessee, and CBS, their primary slot, if you notice, their primary slot on CBS is that 3:30 Eastern.
Yeah.
So that's probably how that shook out. It was just like, listen, because the truth is, even now, Alabama's the bigger draw than Georgia. Georgia's the draw, but Alabama's still the bigger draw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Last game. And y'all already know where I'm finna go with this, man. Y'all see what's behind me, man. And I don't care about my record. I don't care about none of that. I don't care. Florida with the upset. I'm calling it right now. I'm calling it. And here's why I say that. Because Georgia's sleeping on it. They're looking at Tennessee for next week.
What you should have said was they're building. New coach. He's doing a great job. They're going to play with heart. And they're going to cover. That's what you should have said.
No, we're going to win.
Y'all not going to win.
Yes, we... Listen, we picking 4 games this week. That might be my only loss, but I'm telling you right now.
Ride with your team, JT.
I'm riding with my listen.
Ride with your boy.
Okay, so here's why I say that. We are going to have to play almost a darn near perfect game. And that still might not be enough. One, I don't see Anthony Richardson being able to complete passes. 2, I don't see our offense actually putting up more than 21 points. But if we just come out and just say, you know what, this is our SEC championship game. Let's go out there and hit Georgia in the mouth. We'll win. I'm telling you, man. I don't care what nobody say. If whoever's watching the show right now, y'all might be like, well, JT, you're a fan. Yes, I am a fan. And no, I would not sit on my show and go against my Florida Gators when I'm wearing the jersey and it's my background. No, I'm not. I'm going to Florida, and we're going to win.
It's for my squad.
I'm standing up.
This is why Georgia wins by 2 possessions. Because the Florida Gators are 108th in rush defense. So I got 2 words for you. Boa constrictor. They are going to just push the Gators around. They're going to force Florida to put 8 or maybe 9 in that box. And then you're going to see Stetson Bennett do the one thing he does well, and that is attack man defense. And they're going to throw it over. They're not going to throw it a lot. I fully expect Georgia to run the ball 40 to 50 times in this game. Because Kirby Smart is going to do what any coach would do. Once he sees that Florida cannot do anything with that run game. He's just going to keep running. And he's going to wear down the defense. And no, Georgia ain't about to go put 50 on the Gators. This is going to be a 31-14, 38-10 sort of game.
No, put more respect on that. We're going to score 21 points.
You going to score 21?
Yeah, we're going to score 20. We're going to score 20 plus points.
I don't think y'all getting 20.
Huh?
Who is it coming from? You hope Anthony Richardson pop two touchdown runs?
All right. So Anthony Richardson, two touchdowns, one interception in the air. I see one rushing touchdown by Anthony Richardson. I think Trevor Etienne may get in the end zone this game. That's four. So I see 28 points.
You see 28 points.
Yeah.
What did you see when you woke up from that dream?
It wasn't a dream.
The dream in which Florida scored 28 points against Georgia.
You know what, Professor? I don't have to put up with this.
You don't. You don't at all. You don't have to put up with the truth because it hurts sometimes, but it also makes you free. And I'm trying to free you. I thought that Florida made a great hire with Billy Napier. I thought LSU should have hired Billy Napier. They didn't. Scott Wolver's a big game hunter. Fine, whatever. Go get your guy. You went and got Brian Kelly. And LSU is doing what they should be doing, what Brian Kelly teams do. They get better as the season goes along. But Anthony Richardson is the type of quarterback that he needs time. I think he could run the offense the way Levi Lewis did in Louisiana with just remarkably more talent.
Yeah.
But the offensive line needs work, and he has no one to throw to. And I know, man, it's rough. Listen, that's why when I got in this game, I just went and got off the narcotic because if I was still on it, man, I would just be driving myself crazy. We'll talk about Notre Dame next week. We ain't got to talk about that this week. I'm working on an article about Marcus Freeman. So, but yeah, I'm telling you, man, Georgia's pulling out that boa constrictor and they just gonna run, and they just gonna eat the clock. And eat gator, which is quite tasty. It does taste like chicken if you've never had gator.
I've had it, but you know, it is delicious. It is delicious. But yet and still, I'm riding with Florida with the upset.
Right, Will.
I am. So yeah, man, you know, once again, me and Professor both picked OK State. Me and Professor both picked Tennessee. We both picked Ohio State, and deep down inside, he want to pick Florida, but he has to be the realistic one. He went with UGA, I went with Florida. So that's our picks for the week, guys. Man, once again, thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of MVP University. And guess what, guys? Guess what? West Side's coming back. West Side will be back next week, guys.
Yes, he'll be back speaking nonsense next week.
But yeah, man, thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of MVP University. I'm MVP JT. That's Professor Pryor. Check us out on Twitter. Check Professor out on SaturdayBlitz.com. He dropped articles out of this yin yang. Also, check out the whole squad, man. Not the Same Podcast, the V Report, Main Card, Sports Talk with C, the 494, man. We got shows on top of shows on top of shows, man. And if y'all ever on a road trip and you just want some good quality content, pop us in. You know, find us on Apple Music, find us on YouTube, and we'll take you from your point A destination to your point B destination. So, yeah, man, you know, thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of MVP University. We're signing out. Hey, Professor, what you about to do, man?
Sports fans rejoice. You're listening to My Team, My Voice with MTMV Sports.